I want to thank everyone who came back in for one last chance for us to get together and learn as a Chabura in advance of Yom Tov. And I believe Neder will have opportunities if there's interest over the course of Chol Moed as well. And jump back into the Haggadah. We had a chance last time to talk. The first time we learned in Yana Haggadah, we had a chance to think about Rabbi Akiva and the koch of Rabbi Akiva before, during, and after Pesach, centering around Rabbi Akiva at the Seder, and why it is that everyone's coming, all of his chaverim and talmidim were gathering around him in Bnei Brak. Yesterday, we had a chance to reopen the Haggadah and to focus on Kaddish and to understand a little bit in Halacha and in Machshava about the role of the Arba Kosos, and to look yesterday also at the fact that the post Yetzias Mitzrayim crops up over the course of the Haggadah. The fact that we talk not all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but about the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mitachila of the Vazar Hayavosenu, and much of Dayenu, we talk about Matan Torah, and we talk about life in the Midbar, we talk about life in Eretz Yisrael, and based on Mikdash, because that was the goal, and that was the desired end result, the objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a larger plan. Yetzias Mitzrayim was meant to get us somewhere. It wasn't necessarily clear to the Jews at the time what that end result was, but that we celebrate on Pesach not only the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan from there, where Rebbeinu Shlomo brought to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us, using Yetzias Mitzrayim. At the very end of the instructions, okay, as we said last time, in between Avadim Hayinu and Mitchila, in between the two aspects of Masal Menus and Messiah Meshvach, Pesachim Kuf Tezayin, you have all the instructions. So who's Chayiv? Everyone is Chayiv. How much you Chayiv? Kol Marbereis and Meshubach. And this is not the same as Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is Sipur, unlike the every morning and every night, which is very brief. And in terms of how we go about doing it, it needs to be, you know, calibrated to your audience. The Torah describes Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in four different ways over the course of Chumash, because different audiences require a different approach and different presentation. And Yachol Me'Rosh Chodesh, the last piece of the instructions is when. When do you have CPT as Mitzrayim? If you quote a med when the Midrash Halacha, I believe it's in Mechilta, you know, I would have thought that you have a CPT as Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. I would have thought you could have started CPT as Mitzrayim a week and a half ago, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. A Talmud Lomar now has to be that day. Bayamahu. Ah, Bayamahu. Maybe be Bayom. Bayamahu. Maybe it could be tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon. Yom Yudalad Nisan, Erev Pesach. Talmud Lomar, no. But we reject that Havamina as well. Bavur Zeh. Bavur Zeh, Hashem Li, has to be because of this. Right, so we know that elsewhere as well, Chazal understand that Zeh, this implies that there's something you can actually point to. Zeh Keli Van Vehu, Chazal understand, that indicates that there's a very strong degree of Nevuah. Ross Hashivcha Layah Mashla Rav Yecheskel Ben Buzi B'Maisim Rakava. The Gilu Shechina must have been tremendous for every single Jew if they're able to say Zeh Keli Van Vehu. Obviously, God is not visible, God is not tangible, but they saw Shechina. They saw some sort of bright light. They indicated some sort of supernatural light. They indicated the heightened presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was a very, very strong nevuah. Zeh. V'zeh Masa HaMenorah, Chazal say, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu some sort of visual of what the menorah would look like. Zeh, this. So Bavur Zeh, Asa Hashem Li, what's the Zeh? Yetzias Mitzrayim is a historical event that's not at your table. So the answer is, must be Matzumar Menachal Vech. There must be something physical, audio-visual aids on the table, the Matzumar. That's how we know, as Ram Gamliel tells us later, that you have to relate the story to the Pesach Matzumar on the table. But what are the two happen? What are the two havaminas? Yochel me'Rosh Chodesh and Yochel me'Ba'od Yom. It's interesting, the havamina. Do you have a havamina you should sit in the sukkah on Rosh Hashanah? Do you have a havamina that you could celebrate Shavuos and Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Okay, interesting, havamina. Yochel me'Rosh Chodesh. The Torah says Pesach is a Pesach. Pesach on the 15th of Nisan. What do you mean Yochel me'Rosh Chodesh? And what do you mean Yochel me'Ba'od Yom? Erev Pesach is Erev Pesach, and Pesach is Pesach. Yeah, what do you say, Yeshua? Yeah. Ah, Gewaldic. Ah, Gewaldic. Gewaldic, gewaldic. So apparently, very good, right? You say if we're really going to take the Havmina seriously, so you could have a seder last night, and bring up the matzah more. The matzah more is already ready. Right? Okay. Some people bake the matzah on Erev Pesach. Okay, so bake the matzah beforehand. Right? Yeah. What? Well, I'm sorry. Right. Yes, you have to handle things differently. You bake the Erev Pesach matzah by yourself. So, or not. Or you'll forego that chumrah this year because it's dangerous. But yeah, so what are we supposed to make of this? So apparently the Havamina, now in response to Shua's question, apparently the Havamina was only on Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, not on Matzah and Mar. In other words, we know that Matzah is Dafka Leil Tezvav. We know that Mar is Leil Tezvav. But apparently the Havamina is the mitzvah, we're talking here specifically about the mitzvah of Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. I would have thought the Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim could have been accomplished earlier, throughout Chodesh Nisan, or at the very least on Yudalik Nisan. So why? So the Masa Nisan, this is the Haggadah of the Nesivos. Nesivos is famous to us in Yeshivas for his major svarim on Choshe Mishpat and Yerodea. Nesivos HaMishpat. Chavaz Das, he wrote several other svarim as well. I've had the chance other times to share with you the Nesivos' Hagdama to Shir HaShirim. Masa Nisim is Nesivos' Perush on the Haggadah. So he says, he addresses these questions. So what he suggests, so he says, well, look, the Gemara Psachim, we've discussed this in the past in some of the Halachashim, the Gemara Psachim does talk about the Chiyuv to begin to discuss and learn and investigate Hilchos Yom Tov in advance. The Machlokas HaTanoim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, quotes Psukim, that you're mechuyev to begin to learn Hilchos Pesach from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Chachamim say the more well-known position, even earlier, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaRegel. So but everyone agrees that there's a chiyev, the holiday says a chiyev to learn Hilchos Pesach beginning with Rosh Chodesh. And, he says, look, if you work your way through Parshas Bo, there are a number of references to the Chodesh. The Chodesh, Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh HaAviv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, tell Jewish people, look, you're leaving today in the month of spring. The month. And even going back, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Rishonu Lachem L'Chodeshi HaShana. So this is the Chodesh HaGeula. So we would have thought that maybe the whole month is the Chodesh HaGeula to the extent that it's meaningful to have Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim throughout the month. The entire month has a certain identity. And then he goes on to say, that specifically Erev Pesach, I would have thought, and maybe you can mekayim the Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim Erev Pesach, because that's when you shecht the Karban Pesach. Maybe the Havamina wasn't so much the morning, but the afternoon. He suggests there is already Erev Pesach afternoon. There is a physical, tangible object that you can point to. if you're in Beis HaMikdash, there's your Karban Pesach. It's kedai to learn the Mishnayos in Maseches Pesachim that describe the process of bringing the Karban Pesach. If you open the Machzer, Erev Pesach afternoon, they give you the Seder Amiras Karban Pesach if you have time. This year we may have a little more time in our hands, perhaps, than most years, to sit down some point over the course of the afternoon before Yom Tov comes in and to work your way through the Seder Amiras Karban Pesach. And not just to recite it, but it's a chance to learn. You know, that's what the Chazal quote from the Navi, Unashalma Parim Sifasenu, we will pay for the parim, for the animals we're supposed to bring, sifaseinu, with our lips. That's the source that if you can, if a Jew is unable to bring a carbon, so second best is at least to learn the halachas of the carbon. To read the psukim, ideally to learn well, to learn as best as one can. That's why it's a common practice, on if you have time on Erev Pesach afternoon, again this year maybe a little bit easier time-wise, to sit and review the halachas of Karban Pesach. But Bezman HaMikdash, that's when you're bringing it. Erev Pesach itself is like a quasi Yom Tov. That's true even Bezman HaZeh. If nor this year we are as yet incapable of doing this, but a normal year a Jew goes to see the Kosel for the first time in Erev Pesach. It's Yom Ter Kriya. Why? Because Erev Pesach itself is a quasi-yomtiv. There are several aspects of and the ways in which Erev Pesach is a quasi-yomtiv. It should be noted that Chol HaMoed is also quasi-yomtiv. Should point out that's likely a din daraisa. Definitely a din daraisa. How many aspects of a daraisa is a good question. Machlokas Rishonim, whether Chol HaMoed, whether Iser Melacha, is it din daraisa or din drabanan? And there's a requirement to mechabed Chol HaMoed. I should point out to highlight something we've mentioned earlier in the year. You know, over the course of Chol HaMoed, a Jew is says on the first page in Hilchus on Shulchan Aruch in Hilchus Chol HaMoed that we assume you're not mechuyev to wear mamish bigdei Shabbos bigdei Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. Chassidim do have that practice to wear the sham al bekesh, to wear the full big day Shabbos big day Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. It says in Shulchan Aruch that's not a chiyuv, that's not required, but it required that a Jew should wear at least a half a notch up from big day chol. Should be nicer, certainly not less than big day chol. At the very least, not to wear less than school clothes, to wear less than what you normally wear when you're doing something serious during the week. So that certainly doesn't make sense. And ideally, if you have that option, to wear something half a notch nicer than during the week. A nicer shirt, to wear a tie, you could figure out what it is you want to do, a nicer pair of shoes. If you could be around the house, you might not be wearing shoes so much. To figure out something, you have a nicer sweater to wear, mashu, something to be mechabed Chol HaMoed. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, not only is there a certain status to Chol HaMoed, even Erev Pesach in the afternoon has a little bit of that. A little bit of why? Because it's a quasi-yantiv. It's the time of Shechitas HaPesach. As a matter of fact, there are those who point out that in Chazal use the word Pesach to refer to the yantiv itself, from Tezvav Nisan and on. In Chumash, it's referred to as Chag HaMatzos. Pesach, to some point out that Pesach in Chumash refers to the carbon and the day of the carbon Pesach. So that's the Chag HaPesach is perhaps a reference to Yudalid Nisan. So that's why in the Nesivos it doesn't make all these points explicitly, but he's driving at what the Medrash is saying. I would have had a series Havamina Pesach, the entire Chodesh Nisan is Chodesh HaGeula. So maybe the entire Chodesh Nisan, we don't have this Havamina by other mitzvahs. But Sibur Zias Mitzrayim, I could have imagined, is meaningful and already sufficient throughout the month. Nesivos also says, he quotes the Masa Hashem, which is the earlier Haggadah from Rishonim, I believe it's Abar Manel. He says, this flows from the last of the four Banim. The Tzaddik, the Rasha, the Chachzi, the Chacham, the Rasha, and the Tam, they're all responding to what's on the table. So they're not going to open the conversation on the 10th of Nisan. There's nothing to see, nothing to respond to. B'she'inu de'elishol, ak psachlo, you're going to initiate. He's not initiating. So you're initiating Yachem Rosh Chodesh. So maybe you could have initiated any time during Chodesh Nisan, Sechodesh Hagula, or at least maybe you could have initiated, or they could initiate Erev Pesach afternoon. You already have a Shechtekar and Pesach. You're bringing it home to roast. So there are things going on. Right? And not only are things going on, but it's a meaningful piece of the Yom Tov. There's already an Yisr Chametz. One could have imagined even saying that Erev Pesach morning, perhaps. There's already a mitzvah of Tashbisu. So Kamashwa, no, it has to be specifically matzah. Point to that if you look at the context of the psukim there we're talking about matzah. So Bavurzes, not just Pesach, you have to have matzah umar munachim lefanecha. So that's the approach of the Nesivos to the paragraph of Yochum Rosh Chodesh. And then we move on. And again, as I said before, Yochum Rosh Chodesh is the last piece of the instructions. Now we get back to Mitchilo of the Zara Vosenu, the Maslu Benusim Besayim Beshavach Part 2. The spiritual contrast between the before and after. We used to be over the Vodazara in the days of Terach. And now Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us the great gift of spiritual enlightenment. And then we move on to transition from Maskel Benusim Besayim Beshavach into the Tzeil Lamad, into the Holech V'Dorish, to telling the story through the intertwining of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebapeh. And the transitional paragraph, the introduction to Tzei Lamad, the introduction to the actual telling of the story, is Baruch Shem Avtechos Yisrael V'hi Sha'am Dalev Hasein V'lanu. That paragraph is the transition. What does it mean? Say, blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of bracha. He kept his promise to Klal Yisrael because he was Chishev Es HaKetz. After all, he said to Avraham Avinu, Bris Ben Abzarim, Yadoa Teda, 400 years. 400 years. So what's going on here? What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chishev Es HaKetz? We're so grateful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise to Klal Yisrael. Presumably that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Right? As he said to Avraham Avinu, Bris Ben Abzarim, your children will be in Galus. 400 years, and then ultimately I'm going to extract them from that galus. So you say, Baruch HaKadosh Si HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his promise. Okay, that's certainly an introduction to telling the story. We were in galus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept his word, even though it seemed like it was so distant. It was so distant. But what's the Chishev Es HaKetz? Chishev Es HaKetz. So I'll give you two interpretations. I came across earlier this week, the Masa Nisim, the Nesivos, since Chishev Es HaKetz, Hashem was thinking about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we were on it, so to speak, we were on his mind. And he was constantly thinking about, you know, how to make it happen. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen has said sometimes in Musar Shmuzin, you know, let's say you're waiting for the train. Nowadays, we can't wait for the trains. So the subways are definitely present a serious problem in terms of social distancing. But Shalom Ketekna Mirtam, we should soon have the schus once again. We should soon once again see taking the trains as a schus. Yeah? So we'll be able to go back to the New York City subways. So you're standing there and you're waiting for the train. Right? So if it's been a little while, if you're anxious to hop on the train, you got to get somewhere. So what people often do, if you've taken the trains, you know, and people are safely, they lean over a little bit to see if the train is coming. Try to look down the tunnel, see if the train is coming. So you said, what are you doing? The train is not going to arrive a moment earlier because you're looking. And even if you don't look, when the train does show up, you'll notice at the same moment either way that the train came. So why are you leaning over? What are you accomplishing? As Yitzchak Cohen points out in Mr. Shimon, right? Why are you looking down the tunnel? For what? You're not getting anywhere any faster at all. You're not getting on the train a moment earlier. LMI, why do people do it? Because, okay, so sometimes there's a degree of impatience, okay? Think about it from a Midos perspective. But to a certain extent, it expresses tzipia. It expresses not just, you know, I'm supposed to get on the train, I need to get on this train. I want it. I'm yearning for it. I'm waiting for it. We talk about Mitzapim Li Yeshua. The Gemara says one of the questions a Jew is asked when he arrives in the Olam HaElyon, Lachamei Rasim Shana, one of the questions they ask him in the heavenly court is, see, peace of the Yeshua. Were you mitzapeh for the Yeshua? Not just, you know, did you believe in it? Were you mitzapeh for? Were you looking forward for? Literally looking down the tunnel, looking, when's Yeshua coming? Did you care? Right? The guy who keeps pressing the elevator button because he wanted the elevator to come. Now, it's highly unlikely the elevator comes sooner because he pressed the button 10 times. And so if it's being done out of temper and anger, right, obviously it may be an expression of midos that needs some tikkun. But it does also express that this is something I want. Not just, you know, I'm checking off the boxes I need to take the elevator. I want to get there. So we are called upon to be mitzapeh for Yeshua. So the Ma'aseh Nisim says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzapeh for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just, you know, he gave his word to Avraham, so he needed to do it. No, Chishev is a case. Rav Shlomo was, so to speak, in human terms, he was thinking about it. It was on his mind. He wanted to get on. He was yearning for the opportunity, for the moment, when the moment would be right, that he could bring us out and get engaged and married to us, so to speak. And I've seen that. So it's a powerful expression of Avos Hashem. Brisk Rav has another suggestion. Chishev, not Miloshin Machshava, but Miloshin Cheshbon. The Kadosh Baruch Hu calculated the kates. In other words, and he says, the pasuk, what pasuk do we quote? Yadoa teiki geyer zachar b'eretz olam, vavad minu osam, arba me'el shana, 400 years. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu bechasto took a creative interpretation to the 400 years, as Chazal explained. 210 years, well, you could count the 400 from the birth of Yitzhak. 210 years of more intense Shibud is the equivalent, algebraic equivalent to 400 years of regular Shibud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chishev es haketz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated and recalculated how he could extract us. And then we go on to say that he kept his promise. He kept his promise. That's because the Rav Shechter's want to point out in Haggadah Shiurim, the Tosa speaks about it based on the Gemara, the difference between bris zchus avos and bris avos. The zchus of Avraham Avinu Yitzchak Yaakov and the bris, the promise that Kadosh Baruch Hu made to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. The Gemara says zchus avos has run out, bris avos has not run out. I mean, zchus avos is like, you want to help out your friend's son. Oh, I have a soft spot in my heart for you. I'm very friendly with your father. So, I mean, I seek to give you a little extra boost. After all, I have a warm spot in my heart for your father. But if the son continues to misbehave, at a certain point, the schus avos is going to wear out. It's going to wear thin. But bris avos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov that Klal Yisrael are the Am HaNetzach, that Klal Yisrael will never perish. And specifically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise to Avraham Avinu, the bris min habsarim, that Klal Yisrael will emerge from Galus Mitzrayim. So whether we were deserving or not, and the Gemara Chazal indicated that we, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, we were in many ways very far from how we were supposed to live. And the Gemara tells us that a week after Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is after close to a year of seeing Makos, Nisim v'Neflos, at Kriyas Yamsuf, the Gemara describes, Malachim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you saving the Jews and flooding, drowning the Mitzrim? Halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, v'halalu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Both groups are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Jews who left Mitzrayim were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In many ways, we say later in the Haggadah, they were Mitzuyanim Sham. The Jewish people culturally were different. Different names, different clothing, and so on and so forth. Culturally different, but in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, and to a large extent, it was not there. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I made a promise to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. These are people with great potential. They might not right now be actualizing their potential, but these are people with great potential, Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to fulfill my word. Baruch Shomer Havtachaso. Even without the schus avos, there was bris avos. The Gemara says bris avos never runs out. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a promise. That's the olam vod. And when we say v'hi sha'amda l'avoseinu v'lanum, it is what stood for our avos and us. What do you mean it? Who's he? I mean, he is lashon nekeva. It's not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the antecedent? What does that pronoun, it, he, refer to? So you look back at the previous paragraph, the answer is Havtachaso. Havtacha is Lashon Nekeva. The Havtacha, the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avram, it wasn't just a promise to Avram. In other words, you read the Bris Mea Psarim, it talks about Galus Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'll take you out of Galus Mitzrayim. But then the Baal HaGadah says, that wasn't just relevant then. That's throughout all the generations. And I'll share with you, it's something you may want to share at your Seder table, and perhaps some of you have heard this at your Siddurim in the past. A very, very famous close of an essay by Mark Twain. And you can look it up online. Matter of fact, let me share with you this the link on the Fordham website. This is available, so give me a moment. If you want to see the original, you need this originally appeared in Harper's Magazine, which is a very popular magazine in the late 1800s, early 1900s. If you want to get the original on the Harper's website, you have to have a Harper's subscription. But this piece appears on Fordham University's website as well. And there you have in the chat the link if you want to see. And here it's copied it. He has a long essay about the Jews, concerning the Jews. Mark Twain tries to figure out what drives anti-Semitism, why there's so much anti-Semitism. Often it's, you know, in reference to, not in response to anything the Jews did. And he works on it. Then at the end, he has sort of this like epilogue. He points out that the very existence of the Jews is remarkable and a remarkable question. They say, the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race, a nebulous dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. He says, you'd expect the properly Jew ought hardly to be heard of, but he is heard of, has always been heard of, as prominent to the planet as any other people. His commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. And it's not just about business and money, his contribution to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and abstruse learning, way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. And not only do he make a disproportionate impact in so many fields, but he points out, we have made a marvelous fight in this world. In all the ages, we've been persecuted so many times with his hands tied behind him. And then he points out, the Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then freighted to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek, the Romans followed, made a vast noise, and they're gone. Other peoples have sprung up, held a torch high for a time, but have burnt out. They sit in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew, and here's the closing paragraph, the Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? And with that, Mark Twain drops the mic and closes his essay. He ends with Akasha. What's pshat? Another way to phrase what Mark Twain said is that there are patterns of human history. That's what we call, as Rabbi Shechter explained, when the Gemara says, Ein mazal Yisrael. What that means is, just as there are laws of physics and chemistry, there are laws, as it were, patterns of history. There are patterns of human civilizations. There are certain patterns to how civilizations rise and fall, how they develop, and how they fade away. And Klal Yisrael is not subject to mazal. Klal Yisrael is not subject to the laws of history. That's why Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu out. And he says, Ein mazal Yisrael, you're my Allah kochavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Klal Yisrael will not be subject to the laws of history. What is the secret of his immortality? And the answer is, V'hi sham d'al avasein avalanu. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bris to the avas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a purpose in mind for all of humanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a particular purpose in mind for Klal Yisrael. And Kadosh Baruch is a particular investment in Klal Yisrael. And the Klal Yisrael are going to be lanetzach, even when it seems against all odds. As a matter of fact, Yaakov Emden makes this point there 100 or so years before Mark Twain, made a very similar point. Yaakov Emden wrote famously that although many Rishonim, the Kuzri, Ibn Ezra, the Rambam, in various ways speak of Mamon Har Sinai as the great source of our emuna, Yaakov Emden wrote, and this was a couple of centuries ago, that he says, by now, Kalal Yisrael has survived so much, and not only survived, but continued to thrive, despite so many centuries upon centuries of persecution. He says, by now, the kiyum of these nevuos, about Netzach Yisrael, about the eternality of Kalal Yisrael, and the eternality of Torah, he says, it's already, after all these centuries, that has become an even greater indication of emuna than Mamon Har Sinai. Not that Mamon Har Sinai is any less important, but the fact that we've continued to survive and thrive after so many centuries of persecution, that's become such an even greater indication of emuna, even greater indication of Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It's so anomalous that we are here, as Mark Twain said, and to consider that Yaakov Emden and Lahabdal Mark Twain said this in the 1700s, before Hakamas HaMedina, before we began to see Kibbutz Galus, before we began to see so many of the great nevuos, the positive nevuos, begin to be fulfilled before our eyes. The greatest source, arguably, the greatest indication that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, as great as Matan Torah was, perhaps even greater, you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word continues to be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word to us thousands of years ago, continues to be fulfilled against all odds. V'hi sham d'al avasein avalanu. It's a remarkable, remarkable nisim. It's reflected as well, by the way, the Mishnayos have a machlokas, the very end of Magen. Mishnayos have machlokas, what the nusach of Asher Ga'olanu is. Some of the Tanoim, I don't have it in front of me, I believe it's Rabbi Tarfon, maybe one of his contemporaries, had a very short Asher Ga'olanu. Asher Ga'olanu v'Galus HaMitzrayim, Mitzrayim, v'Higyanu alayla azeh lechobo matzumar. Period. Bracha Kitzara. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not just a bracha Kitzara, it's a bracha Aruka. You continue with Kain Hashem Elokein Vakeva, Sein Yagil, Maudim, Logal, Machirim, etc., etc., etc. Baruch Ata Hashem Goal Yisrael. So what's the machlokas? Not just a machlokas shorter or longer. If you're looking at the bracha, it's a machlokas about one theme or two themes. Because the first version just has about the past. Asher Ga'olanu, V'Yigyar Laila Zeh. We had a ghoul in the past and we're still here. Rabbi Akiva says it's not enough to just talk about the fact that we had a ghoul in the past. We see, you have to add about the future. Just as we had a ghoul in the past, so too we are confident and we daven and we believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu will continue the story of Jewish history and bring us through, although it may be a circuitous path, bring us to the clear ultimate destination of Geula Shalema. And the Bayis HaShlishi. That's what Rabbi Akiva points out. It's not, and again, this is Rabbi Akiva Lushitaso, Rabbi Akiva the great optimist. The goal of tonight is not only to remember the past, it's to be able to inject it into how we see the present and how we look at the future. To understand that is the introduction to the actual telling of the story, Tzei Lamad, is the Hisham Lavasein Volanum, to understand that the story we're about to tell is not only a story of what happened once upon a time, it is a true story of what happened once upon a time, and it's meant to have contemporary and future looking implications. And let me end with two very brief references to that in the actual Haggadah, the actual telling of the story. And Tein Lechachem V'yech Kamod, this will inspire you hopefully to look more at the Tzei Lamad and see what else is relevant. We say that there are four psukim that we expand upon. Vayered Mitzrayma, the entry into Galus. Vayarevo Sanu, the Avodakasha, the Inui, number two. Number three is the Tze'aka Takarish Baruch Hu, we called out Ribon Shalom. And number four is the Yitziah, Vayotzi Enu. And the Medrash expands word by word, phrase by phrase, on each of these four psukim. You always want to ask yourself, like, what's being added? You say, oh, we quote one, as we quote one clause of the psukim in Kisavu, we say, oh, that's Kemosha Nemar. So that Kemosha Nemar is supposed to somehow be a perish on the language in Kisavu. So Vanitza Kal Hashem Elkei Avoseinu. Right, Kemosha Nemar, what's being added? Okay, it says in Shemos that we daven. Okay, it says in Kisavu we daven. What's being added? So presume what's being added, and I think the Ma'aseh Nisim says this, is Vanitzak El Hashem Elkei Avoseinu sounds like we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sounds like we davened. The Medrash is pointing out in Shemos, you see, Vayeanchu Bnei Yisrael Min Havod Vayizaku. They weren't davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were just krechzing. They were just in pain. Vatal Shava Samel Elkim Min Havod, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Bechazda to look at Klal Yisrael's like primal expression of pain to interpret it as a tefillah. That's a chesed Ribono Shel Olam. Every time I mention that as an example of, you have to ask yourself, what Kemosha Nemar, what's being added in being mefaresh the four psukim of Kisavo, what's being added? The Yered Mitzrayma, the Onos Al Pi Adibra, by Yogar Sham, Milamet Shal Yared Yaakov Avinu Shtakel Lagur Sham. And so we expand upon the fact that by Yogar Sham, I mean, he only came as a ger. He only came temporarily. It wasn't supposed to be a long-term situation. And that's an important limud l'doros. A lot of times you get into gullus, either literal gullus or gullus hanefesh. You know, we just want to be there temporarily. And often, oh, you know, I'll just do X for a day. I'll just do X for an hour. And sometimes you end up getting stuck in whatever that X is a lot longer than you expect. And here's the other one. I've heard this from my shechta many times at the Seder. Vayireo son ha-mitzvim, the second pasuk. Vayireo son ha-mitzvim, kemosha ne'emar, hoven ischak malo. What are we saying? The pasuk in Kisavo says, the mitzvim sounds like they were bad to us. So you want to say, oh, you want to know how they were bad to us? Look at pasuk in Shmos. If you're looking at that analytically, it seems like an odd pasuk to quote. You'd expect to hear Kemosha Nemar, some of the psukim about the oppression, the torture in Mitzrayim. This doesn't even say that. This is Paro's planning. Hava nischak lo pen yirba. That's when Paro's presenting, we better plan a solution. How is that an interpretation of Ayarev or something? Shechter often points out, Vayareo Sanu doesn't mean they were bad to us. It's a hif'il. Vayareo Sanu, what the Medrash is interpreting is Vayareo Sanu means not that they were bad to us. That happened later. That's Vaya'anunu. Vayareo Sanu means they said that we were bad. They made us out to be bad people. That was the preliminary, the preface to Vayanunu, before they actually started to oppress us, the first thing they did is say that we were bad people. We were scapegoated. And look at the pasuk. It's gorgeous. What does the pasuk say? It's not even Paro talking about what he plans to do with the Jews. It's an accusation that the Jews are disloyal. Power says, oh, we better deal with the Jews because it's a big problem. There's so many Jews, Power says to his council, and they are likely to be a fifth column. They're likely to be treasonous. He says, if an enemy military force attacks us, they're likely to join the fight against us. Was there any evidence that the Jews were disloyal? Yosef HaTzadik was an incredible leader of the Egyptian country. He saved the Egyptian populace. He built up the strength of the Egyptian government. What evidence was there the Jews were disloyal? Adraba v'adraba. The Jews were very loyal. But the Medrash is pointing out, means that before they began Vayanunu, before the anti-Semites began to torture us and oppress us, first they developed a lot blood libel about us. First they developed some false story that we were disloyal, and through creating the story about us, they laid the groundwork to be able to attack us. And that is not just something that happened in Mitzrayim. As we know, that's been a recurring part of the patterns of anti-Semitism throughout the generations. The Vayanunu is preceded by Vayarei Osanu. And that's, as I said before, yet another example of how the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is not only laying out what happened more than 3,000 years ago in Egypt. It is certainly doing that. We are telling the story, the historical story of what happened to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Mitzrayim, how we were oppressed and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. The significance is not only to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us then, but to recognize the patterns of Jewish history that recur again and again. To understand that anti-Semitism is something real, something that recurs in different generations, and to understand that Yeshua's Hashem is something real. That Gullus is something real, and that Geula is something real. And that the positive, it's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us once, we should be grateful for that. Dayenu. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us once, we should be grateful for that, absolutely. And we're saying much more. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us once, and it's the same haftacha, as we said before, Zechus HaFetz could wear out, but Bris HaFetz doesn't go anywhere. The haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avram, and then continues to endure and survive for Klal Yisrael throughout all the generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to care for Klal Yisrael and to keep the corporate entity of Knesset Yisrael alive, and not only alive, but alive and thriving throughout the course of human history. And that's why, as I saw before, Rabbi Akiva closes the bracha, Asher Galanu and Kein Yagienu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us once, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us many times in the past, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, we are confident, and we daven, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to take care of us. We are confident He will take care of Klal Yisrael, and we daven that we as individuals should all be a part of that ongoing geula, and to be zocha, not only that we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us, we daven that it should be soon, and we daven that we should be able to fully recognize Yeshua's Hashem. Sometimes Yeshua's Hashem is hard to see at the time. As we saw when we studied a month ago, the story of Purim. At the time, and even right after it happened, until Mordechai and Esther explained it, wrote the Megillah, many Jews couldn't even see Yeshua's Hashem. It happened already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had saved them. They couldn't see there was Yad Hashem. And their eyes needed to be open. So we daven that it should be in as pleasant and painless a way as possible, in an ongoing fashion. And we daven we should be zochet to notice it. We should be zochet to be able to know what we're seeing, to be able to see the geula for what it is. And that it should, and even before geula fully comes, that as Yaakov Emden, Lahavdil, Mark Twain pointed out, Leila Seder is a time of great strengthening of emunah. To see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only 3,000 years ago, yes, absolutely 3,000 plus years ago, with the great Nisim Niflos, and ever since, sometimes with Nisim Guluyim, and more often with Nisim Nistarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has continued to take care of us. And when you think about it, as Twain points out, in absolutely remarkable ways. Absolutely, it runs against all the rules of history. what is the secret of his mortality, not of his immortality? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has survived and mamash thrived, not a footnote to history, not the gypsies. Mamish chai v'kayam. Klal Yisrael continues to make, we continue to maintain Torah mitzvahs. We continue to impact the entire world in remarkable, anomalous ways. Why? Because we're Ribono Shel. And that's always true, and it's always something to think about. But Leil HaSeder, the Sifrei Kabbalah speak about the matzahs, Nahama d'mehe menusa, lechem of emuna. It's bread of emuna. We said when we got started, lechem oni, the Gemara understands, daf lamed vav and daf kuftez vav, kuftez zayim, psachim, kuftez vav and beis, and that's a lechem sha'olim al dvarim harbe. One of the meanings of lechem oni, parsha A, is that's a bread of speech, bread of conversation. The matzah absorbs all the words, all the ideas and the thoughts and the feelings of the Haggadah and the Hallel. They're absorbed by them. When you mamash, you eat your words, literally, in a positive sense. And the matzah absorbs all the discussion, all the feelings of Emunah. When we mamash, we ingest it. Because we're meant to, achrei ha'pa'ulos nimshach l'vavos, we're meant to absorb this very, very, very deeply and very profoundly. It's Pesach in general, and Leil HaSeder in particular, is a majestic opportunity to come to know the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to come to see it, to come to think about it, and to come to feel it, to come to absorb. We should talk to Bizocha to great chizuk and emuna, even in challenging times. Klal Yisrael has gone through many, many, many challenging times in the past. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has continued to pull us through. And we should be Zocha to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to pull us through to Yeshua and ultimately to Geula. Chevra, thank you so, so much for joining.